Beloved, turn in your Bibles to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. We'll be reading starting in verse 10. We'll read through verse 28. Genesis 24, we'll start in verse 10. Before we read the Word of God and hear the Word preached, let's pray to our God. Let's pray. Father, we do praise You. Again, we thank You that You have provided all of our needs for us. And that now You have provided Your Word again, Your Word read and preached. And so we pray that You would bless us, cause us in our hearts to be sanctified. For those hearts which have turned from You, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and yet have never come in faith in Jesus for the salvation of their souls. Lord, we pray that You would use Your Word this morning, even what we've already read and prayed about and sung. Use it for their salvation. Bring faith. Bring Your Spirit upon all of our hearts, to mold us into the perfect image of Jesus Christ, to be holy as He is holy. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Genesis 24, verse 10, and we'll read through verse 28. This is the word of the Lord. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master, and set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, a time when women go out to draw water. He said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also. May she be the one whom You have appointed for Your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that You have shown loving kindness to my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half a shekel and 2 bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels in gold and said, whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. Again, she said to him, we have plenty of both straw and feed and room to lodge in. Then the man bowed low and worshipped the Lord. He said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward his master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. And the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. And that is God's word. We see the title there. What are the characteristics to look for in a future spouse? Children, young men, young women. The characteristics to look for in a future spouse. The characteristics all of us are to have in ourselves. And parents, the characteristics you are to be teaching and modeling before your children. And what we found in this chapter is that chief characteristic of having a God-delightedness. That's what we need. That's what we need to be looking for, young men, young women, for a future spouse. A God-delightedness. A one in which the most important thing in that future spouse's life is God, not you, not your future spouse, not their future spouse, not even their parents, but a God-delightedness. We also saw humility, one of those maybe sub-chief characteristics coming out of a God-delightedness, a humility towards God and also towards one another. And then out of those, especially out of God-delightedness, having God as the center point of one's life, came those other characteristics that we've looked at, that is kindness and diligence. So God-delightedness, humility, kindness, diligence. And so young men, young women, when you begin to looking for a spouse, will your eyes look like the sons of God in Genesis 6. Remember Genesis 6, where they were looking only at the outward appearance and they married the daughters of men, the sinful pagan women. And yet there they were, the daughters of God right there, who they could have taken, the very godly women. And yet in our day, it's often that, well, it is the way of Genesis 6. Even in the church, Genesis 6 is the way we go about finding a spouse. We look at the outward appearance. We need to find out, well, are they funny? Are they fun? Are they? Am I going to get along with them? And here we need to be asking not those questions, but the questions. Will our eyes be searching for the servant, like the servant in this chapter, gazing and looking for the ones who have these characteristics in order, that we would find a godly man or a godly woman to be our spouse? And here is the Lord. He's given you exactly what you ought to be looking for, Christians, and He's done this throughout for the whole church. He's given in His Word what we ought to be looking for. And oftentimes, even in the church, we want to look outside of God's way, and we look to the world's ways. Genesis 6. The Lord wants you to be blessed, and so He gives you His Word. He wants you to love your spouse, and so He gives you this Word. Now, these are the things you need to look for: God-delightedness, humility, kindness, diligence. And now what we learned this morning, three more things, and those are strength, endurance, and hospitality, or hospitable spirit. And so first, the characteristic of strength. Strength. Now, you, young men, young women, you think of these other characteristics we've already looked at, and perhaps you think about those: God-delightedness, humility, kindness, diligence, and you think about those, and you think the person who has those characteristics is going to be weak. Now, young women, you're looking for a man. And you may be thinking, well, if they have those characteristics, they're going to be effeminate. They're going to be girly. They're going to be a girly boy. And young men, you may be thinking also that, you know, those characteristics, kindness, humility, that's just weak. And yet God wants us to be looking for someone who has a gentle, quiet spirit. And we may be equating that with wimpy. That's not the case. You could easily find a godly man, a godly woman who has those characteristics and strength. Who's strong. Rebecca is an example of that. She's not wimpy. She was a strong woman, a strong young woman. Remember the servant, verse 21, he's gazing at her to see if she fits these godly characteristics. Does she fit? Is she a godly woman? Is she fit to be taken back to his master Abraham's son, Isaac, for a wife? In verse 16, notice the description of the spring or the well. It's a description of her. And it says, she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. The spring or the well, which both words are used in these verses, verses 13 and 20, both are used. The spring and the well in the city, wells or springs like that would be something you'd have to walk down into, and then you'd have to walk carrying the water back up out of it. It wasn't like a well today where we don't have, they didn't have pumps. They didn't have our turn on the faucet thing. But they actually had to take a jar, which it says she had a jar, which we think had hold about 3 gallons or so. And she'd have to go down and put water in there and carry it back up. And usually this would probably be at least 10 foot down, and you'd have to walk. There'd be an entrance. You'd walk down the stairs. You'd get your water. You'd walk back up the stairs and go back to your homes. And so there would be going down, coming up, going down, coming up. Imagine with that, with a full jar of water, and just take, if the jar is 3 gallons, that's a good estimation, I guess. 3 gallons of water, if the jar held, that would be, 3 gallons of water is 25 pounds about. And so she'd be carrying 25 pounds, plus the weight of the jar, which would be about, 2 or 3 pounds, whatever it is. And so she's carrying up out of the well, out of the spring, 27, 30 pounds, and that's just one trip. And this is a strong woman. She did this on a daily basis. And you notice that she's not any different than the other women, the young women of that city. She's not like one in a million. She's very like the other women in this way, that she is strong. And you see in verse 11, you see also in verse 13, the daughters of the men of the city would come out to draw water each day. This is not just a one-time thing. And they'd probably do it in the morning and the evening. Here it's just the evening, it says. And so we'll go on that. And so all of the young women of the city did this to serve their household, to bring water to their homes. And so what this is showing is that she is a woman who is willing to work. She's a woman who is strong. She has strength to work. And she's willing and strong enough to serve her father. Is that what you're looking for, young men? And a young woman for your spouse? Are you looking for a woman who is strong? And we aren't necessarily saying she has to be a beefy woman. She doesn't have to have all this upper body strength. The question here, young men, are you looking for a woman who's strong enough to serve? That's the question. Is she strong enough to serve? Is she strong enough to serve her parents and do what they ask her to do, even the difficult things? Is she willing to do it and try it and carry out the task? The hard tasks, and that would take perhaps some physical strength. Mothers, you know that being a mother requires strength. First off, it requires physical strength. I just had a baby, and so I'm thinking about that. And I look at my wife, it's required of her that she'd have to pick up my child. She's going to have to pick up Oliver over there, 3-year-old. I have to pick him up, put him down, pick him up, put him down. It takes strength to do that, to serve my house. And not that a woman's calling is only towards lifting and carrying babies. There's much more that you do. And you know this, children, if you look and pay any attention to your mother, they do a lot of work and they serve a lot, and they are strong. Young women, are you looking for a man who is strong? Not necessarily a bodybuilder. It could be scrawny like me. But the question is he strong? Is he willing to work hard? Is he willing to serve your family when you're married? Is he willing to give up sleep so that you can sleep? Is he willing to give up sleep so that he makes sure that all your daily comforts are there and you're taken care of? Well, one of the curses, and we kind of just mentioned one of them, at the fall of man, was the curse upon women to bear children, and we might also say rear children. We also have the curse upon men, which was in pain and labor and work and toil and labor. And so here we ask, is young women, are you looking for a man who can work, who can serve you by working, is strong enough to continue in work, to provide for your family? Parents, in the training of your children, are you giving your children difficult, not just easy tasks, but difficult tasks that they would be strengthened? That they would be strengthened in their character, to develop their character, not only physical, but that's probably the most minor point in this point, in strength. Not the physical strength, even though that's perhaps part of this. But mental strength, and then also spiritual strength. Are you calling upon your children and to do these difficult tasks that they would be strengthened? Are you giving them tasks in which you know that will be difficult for them physically, mentally, and spiritually, so that they can work and those spiritual, mental, physical muscles and become strong in Christ and by Christ and for Christ? Or are you just allowing them to be lazy? When it comes to schoolwork, so mental maybe, looking at the mental, or, you know, you come to the schoolwork, the children, young men, young women, are you looking for a spouse who's always going to take the easiest way, take the easiest assignment? If there's a multiple, you know, options, I can do this, this, or this. Are they always taking the easiest one? You're not looking for the one who's going to take the easiest one. You're looking for the one who's going to challenge themselves and work those muscles of the mind. You're looking for someone who is going to challenge themselves spiritually. To have that God-delightedness, what you're looking for is one that has that God-delightedness. But do you also see that they're challenged in their spiritual life? Are they contemplating their sin? Are they contemplating themselves? And asking questions. How do I overcome this sin? And asking their parents. Relying on their parents' wisdom and the Scripture's wisdom. How do I grow? What do these things mean? You know, there's many questions in the world, meaning of life, and all, you know, all the things we can question. Are you looking for someone who's willing to ask questions? Young men, are you looking for a woman who challenges herself to be stronger? And I ask that because you do know, don't you, that being a wife to you, to have your wife, is it's going to be hard for her to be your wife. It's a hard calling to be a wife, and being a hard calling to be a wife in God's way, and being a wife to you, a sinner. It's going to be hard for her to raise children and help you raise children and keeping your house going. One of her callings as well. As strength comes by doing difficult things. But are you looking for someone who is strong? And some of you lifted weights before. You don't build strength by going and doing bench pressing 10 pounds. That's not building strength. You don't go and get dumbbells that weigh 1 or 2 pounds. That doesn't build strength. It's not enough weight. It's not hard enough. You don't get strength in that way. You get an amount that you can lift, and yet it's difficult to lift. And that's how you build strength. If you are not using those physical, mental, spiritual muscles, what you're doing is you're going to send those muscles into atrophy. They're going to be lazy. Young men or young women, do you want a spouse who's lazy? Who's not diligent? 1 Timothy 4 says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness. Strengthen yourselves for godliness, spiritual strength. For while bodily training is of some value, so there is some value in physical bodily strength. He says, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the one to come. And so we are to be challenging ourselves spiritually, in godliness, training ourselves. And so young men, young women, you need to be training yourselves. So when mom and dad ask you to do something, you do it. And you work hard at it. Even if it is hard, the task is hard, you still do it. Parents, give your children hard things to do so that they'll be trained in godliness. the characteristic of strength. A second, the characteristic of endurance. Look at verse 19. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Well, let's do some math. You know, it's the summer and you're out of school, most of you at least. Let's refresh in basic math. Camels have stomachs that can hold anywhere from 30 to 50 gallons of water. They can hold a lot of water. 30 to 50 gallons. And these camels that the servant has brought with him have gone on a long journey. Their stomachs are empty. And they need to be completely full. Let's use that low number, 30. Let's take the lowest number because that's maybe it makes it look better. You remember how many gallons of water Rebecca's jug held? Three gallons, somewhere around 3 gallons. So easy division, 30 divided by 3 is what? 10. 10 trips it would take for Rebecca per camel. Up out of the well, back down to the well, up out of the well, to the trough. 10 trips to get each camel, for just one camel to get their stomachs full of water. How many camels were there? Remember how many camels there were? Verse 10. There's 10 camels. And so 10 camels, 10 trips per camel, that's 10 times 10 is 100. 100 trips for each camel, or for all the camels. Not for each, but for all of them. 100 trips down to the well, back up out of the well, to the trough, emptying, running back. And she's running. You see that? She ran. She was doing it quickly. 100 trips. And this is exactly what Rebecca intends to do, to give water to each camel until they had finished drinking. That's what she says. Verse 19, "Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, 'I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking,'" filling their stomachs with water. Now if you take the 30 gallon stomachs of the camels, that's 100 trips. If you took the 50-gallon stomachs of the camels, that's 160 trips. 100 to 160 trips, somewhere in there. And that's her intention, to give water and make all these trips. She knows how long it's going to take, approximately, probably. She knows it's going to take a long time. And you notice the difference. Remember what the servant prayed for. Remember what the servant prayed for in verse 14? "Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, 'Please let down your jar so that I may drink,' and who answers, 'Drink and I will water your camels also,' may she be the one whom you have appointed for Isaac." But she doesn't just say she'll water his camels. She says, "Until they are finished drinking." And so it kind of goes above and beyond what the servant prayed for. And so the servant is gazing at her and he's seeing this. He's seeing her promise. "Yes, I'm going to water all your camels until they are finished drinking." And so he sees her strength. He sees her endurance, because this is going to take a long time. And so she's running to the well. Remember verse 20. She quickly emptied her jar, ran back to the well to draw. But she comes back out of the well and her jar is full of what? 27 to 30 pounds of water. And she does this to water all the camels until they finish drinking, 100 to 160 trips, 27 to 30 pounds of water up out of the well. So she's lifting total anywhere from 27 to 4,800 pounds. And just to serve this man who she doesn't know, and to serve even his camels. If we're just taking time, and this is just to give us an estimate, if it took 3 minutes to go down to the well, walk all the way down, walk all the way back to the trough, or run, what she's doing, 3 minutes, that would take her 5 hours to do this. Maybe she's running, so it's not going to take as long. But it's still going to take a long time. And so she is longing to serve him. So you see her strength. And you see her endurance. And she knew when she started how long it was going to take. She wasn't getting herself involved in something which she didn't know what was going to take place. She knew how long it was going to take. She knew how much strength it was going to take. It's like when somebody asks you to help them move, and you have to, you know, especially men, you've probably done this, you lift all those heavy things, you have to load them up onto the truck. You know approximately how long it's going to take. You know how approximately that it's going to wear you out. You're going to be tired by the time you're done. And she knew that it was going to wear her out and it was going to take some endurance. She has it. Now, perhaps these last three characteristics, I might have hesitated. That is, four characteristics. Kindness, diligence, and strength and endurance. I might have hesitated to bring these up out of this text if it weren't for Proverbs 31. Turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, and you know, it is written, it says, at the very beginning of Proverbs 31, it says that it's a, off the top of my head, it's an oracle written by his mother to him, the one who writes the Proverbs. And so it's from his mother. So parents, listen, this is, she taught her child these things about an excellent wife. So Proverbs 31 and verse 10, an excellent wife who can find? And so this is before he's married, and this is his instructions from his mother, what he ought to be looking for. Who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. You see the diligence there. She's working with her hands, but she does so with delight. And she doesn't stop. She has willing hands. So she is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it from her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. And so she see there the strong, the strength, but then also her endurance. She's up before sunrise. She's up even when the sun has gone down. So she has endurance. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Kindness. She's not afraid of the snow. For her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. He's a godly husband sitting amongst the elders. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles at the future. She delights in God. She has this God delight in us where she can look to the future and have joy. Because she knows that her God is going to keep her. And she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She's kind to him. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not, no, she is diligent. She's not lazy. Her children rise up and bless her husband also, and he praises her, saying, now listen, young men. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Listen, charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Genesis 6. But a woman who fears the Lord, God delightedness and humility, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. So the characteristic of strength, endurance, we also see there in Proverbs 31, all the others. God delights in humility, kindness, diligence. And finally, hospitality. Hospitality. We've already covered this a few chapters ago, but we'll just look at it very quickly. Verse 23, whose daughter are you? please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house? And she said, Rebekah said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. And she said to him, we have plenty of both straw and feed and room to lodge in. The man bowed low and worshipped the Lord. She said that we have both straw for the camels and feed for them and room to lodge for you. And she's calling him to come and lodge at her father's home. And it's not even her father or the parents asking. It's her asking on behalf of her parents because she knows that her parents are hospitable. And she's learned to be hospitable herself. And she doesn't even know the man's name. And she's saying, come on in. Come and be, come into our home and eat and we'll provide for you until you have to leave. That's hospitality. Hopefully we'll cover hospitality in the future, but there you see it. They're willing to serve. The parents were willing to serve. She's willing to serve. A young man, a young woman, you need to be willing to serve. And so what characteristics are you looking for? God tells you that you need to be looking for God-delightedness, humility, kindness, diligence, strength, endurance, and hospitality, or a hospitable spirit. We have characteristics that we find in other places. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are more characteristics that you ought to be looking for in a spouse. That is, they have fruit of the Spirit, that the Spirit is actually working in them. That they're God's children. More importantly, those characteristics are the ones that all of us need. Not just that the spouse you're looking for in a spouse, but all of us need these characteristics. And so, young men, what are you looking for in a young woman? A young spouse, a wife. You're looking for a woman who shows that the Spirit has worked in her heart. That He has come in, regenerated her heart, made her heart from stone to flesh, and she's now producing fruit. And you can see it. And she loves God more than everything else. Young women, you're looking for a man who shows that the Spirit has come in, changed his heart. Changed his heart. Not just says, well, I'm a Christian. And I go to church. You're not looking for that. You're looking for a man who has shown that he has fruit and who loves Jesus. He's willing to give up everything to serve you, right now at least, to serve his parents. And you look at his family life and you see his parents and when they tell him to do something, he does it. You're looking for a man like that. Because that's a man who's going to submit to God and love God and serve you. What we're not looking for is a label. We're not looking for the label of a Christian. You can go and find that anywhere, and most of the people you're going to find are probably not Christians. They just say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. That's not a Christian. A Christian is one who loves God, who has not left their love, right? First love. Who loves God, has that God-delightedness. You're looking for these characteristics, the characteristics of holiness, characteristics of fruit, fruit that you can see and not be confused by your emotions. You go the other way and you go to Genesis 6, the way the world's way, and you can be easily deceived by your emotions. All the outward appearance, it looks good and that's good enough and everything else kind of not as important. Now, you're not looking for that. You're looking for something you can see with your eyes and your parents can see it with you and they can see a godly man, a godly woman. And not just something that who has Christ on their forehead. Yes, I'm a Christian. Or has Christ on the lips and professes faith. You're looking for someone who you are equally yoked with. And that is not just someone who says, I'm a Christian. But one who has a godly heart. You want someone who has Christ on the throne of their hearts. Beloved, like much of our culture around us, even the Christian culture surrounding us, don't make the same mistake they continue to do to their death, to their eternal death. That's what happened in the Old Testament. You see it many times. The sons of God married the daughters of men, and what happened is, you know, they went into the land of Israel. They started marrying the people of the land instead of destroying them like God commanded. And they started worshiping other gods to the death of their own souls. And so this is very important. We cannot be like the world. We can't be like Genesis 6. You need to be like Genesis 24. To look for God's people. People who love God with all of their heart. You're looking not for a beautiful appearance, but a beautiful heart in Christ. Beloved, you need Christ. The one you're looking for needs Christ. He must have the first place in your hearts and their hearts. That's what you're looking for. That's parents, what you're guiding your children to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who makes it very clear what we're looking for. We're not looking for just this outward affection of love, although that would be part of our marriage. We're not looking for the outward appearance, although that would be wonderful. But we know from Proverbs 31, we just saw, beauty is vain. It fades. The outward appearance at least does. But Lord, what we're looking for is a beauty that is inward, inside, in the heart, in the spirit, in the soul, works in the heart by your Spirit. Well, Lord, we praise you. We thank you for such clarity. But we pray that you would work in a mighty way, because we know that we are much like the world on this matter. And most of us have only experienced, even those who are married already, only experienced the world's ways. For most of us, it's turned out well because of your mercy and your grace. For others, it's been a struggle. But Lord, we are called to be holy as you are holy. Lord, let these young men, young women trust in you with all their heart, that they would be godly men and women, and that they would look for godly men and women to be their spouse. May they be humble enough to seek the wisdom of their parents, as we see in this chapter, and as we see in other parts of Scripture. And Lord, we pray that you would make us as a church, one body, encouraging one another, helping one another in this process of sanctification. Lord, grow us in faith. Build us up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.